Welcome to In Season, exploring farming and gardening in the Lower Columbia Pacific region. I'm your host, Teresa Retzloff. There's a saying among gardeners, if you put a $10 plant into 10-cent soil, you end up with a 10-cent plant. In other words, it's worth it to invest the time and resources it takes to build a solid foundation of healthy soil that will feed and support the plants you put into it. I've had variations on this conversation many times with today's guest, Astoria-based gardener, garden coach, and artist, Jessica Schleif. I'm happy we finally recorded our conversation so that I could share her thoughts with you.
I see myself as a coach for people in the gardens. I guess I also see myself as a horticulturalist that specializes in edibles and habitat gardens. I don't call myself a landscaper because sometimes I feel like that evokes the idea that people might be able to build a landscape immediately. And I think we've, in the society of home garden shows, sometimes think it can happen very quickly.
Yeah, and it does not.
And it does not.
And how long have you been building gardens?
I've been building gardens now for about 25 years.
Wow. That's a long time.
It is a long time.
What brought you to gardening? How did you connect to that? Because I'm always curious, especially with something like gardening, it's kind of like cooking. You're not born knowing how to do this. And some people have are drawn to it and some not. So what draws you to working in the garden?
I think in different stages of my life, it's been different things. As a child, I think I spent a lot of time in nature occupying myself. My father grew a large vegetable garden, and I enjoyed spending time with him, watching him grow the food and poking around, hunting for bugs and hanging out.
Were you asked to, did you garden with him? Did you do weeding?
I did. Yeah, and and as a child, I would be able to have a little spot that was my own to grow sunflowers or easy things or tomatoes. So I was able to connect with the natural world in that way from an early age. And then I think I came to it initially realizing that, wow, what a great way to make my living, that I wanted to be able to do something to support myself that spoke to me. And at first, just doing landscape gardening with various companies. And then when I moved to England, I suddenly realized I might need to support myself there. And getting a job in a pub for $3 an hour brought tears to my eyes. So I went out and bought a pair of Falcos and a handsaw and a tool belt. And
what a great place to learn, too. Yes. England is so amazing for its gardens.
Yeah, totally obsessed with the gardens there. Spent a lot of years going to all the major gardens and over and over again and studying. And then again, coming to that again when I moved to Astoria.
Yeah. Well, and the climate here is kind of, you know, I mean, if you've spent time in England,
especially in southern England, very similar.
It is, and there's a lot of plants that will do well in both climates, and there's a lot of rainfall, and I mean, some differences, obviously, but this is a good climate for, you know, having learned in England, this would be a good climate to move to.
Definitely, and coming here to Astoria and 1997 and deciding I wanted to buy a home and that I wanted to make this my home, there weren't a lot of jobs available. And
so you just made your own.
I just made my own. I started recognizing gardens that were just really special gardens in town, and actually Rosetta Hurley was my very first client, and I'd just come back from England and I'd done a lot of gardens on Windlesham Street, and I came up with a moniker of Windlesham Gardens and passed myself off as knowing quite a bit because I'd been to Great Dixter and Sissinghurst. And I started being a companion in the garden. I started helping in the gardens, and I ended up learning so much more than I expected from the people that I was working for.
That's so wonderful and so great. I mean, the gardens around here are amazing, and there's some people who are so passionate about growing.
It's true.
In this region, and it's so inspiring to see what people do, different things that people do.
Yeah, creating environments for themselves.
Absolutely.
Places of beauty and meaning that we can hang out in at different times of year.
Yeah. You know, one thing that, so what I really wanted to talk to you about today, because we've been, every once in a while we run into each other and we have these garden conversations, and we talk about plants and we both kind of get excited about certain plants, but we keep coming back to soil.
It's true.
And about building healthy soil. And we were talking earlier about, you know, how when you start gardening, you get so excited about the plants. I mean, the plants are just...
they're sexy.
They are.
We want that look really quick.
And we want... I mean, you want all of them. There's so many to collect, and there's always new ones, and there's the colors and or flavors if it's edible, and there's so many cool things going on, and you just
and
get
we start putting the colors together. I know. And we don't think about, what do they need for light requirements, or possibly what do they want to grow in?
Well, I think about that when I was learning how to garden. I mean, I'm very self-taught, and, you know, it was probably when I was about, you know, 18 or 19 years old was when I started gardening, and I'm working with basically sort of adobe clay down in on the Central Californian coast, and I would go to the nursery and buy plants and put them in the ground, and they would die, and I would go back and I'd buy more and put them in the ground and they would die, and then I started like, well, why are they and then you're like,
it was that annual perennial, what does that mean?
Well, but then also just understanding maybe I need to work on the soil a little bit too. And so you've been working with soil here in this region for a while now. And what are some of the lessons that you've learned about building healthy soil?
Well, initially when I came here, everyone complained of the clay soil.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a lot of clay here. And digging in clay or being around clay, like in my home garden, I looked at it as my enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Till I realized that if we can condition the soil, if we can get other things into that clay, that it can release an incredible amount of nutrients that can feed our plants, and that clay can be our ally. I, like you, am self-taught in very many ways and have gone about things instinctually and also in a very... how can I do this with no money and with what I have? What will people give me for free? And when I first moved here, I, as well as gardening, did some bartending. And I worked at Bill's Tavern down in Cannon Beach. And I met Jack Harris, who had a whole lot of this spent grain stuff for free. And I was watching pig farmers. And I was watching people come and get it to feed livestock. And I thought... What would happen if you started mulching with this stuff? You know, it seemed like worms liked it when he was dumping it out in places. And so I started dragging some of that home and adding it into my own home compost. And at the time, I was a very passive composter. But I learned really quickly that mulching with that, those little spent grain pieces were going down into the soil. It was bringing the worms up, what worms were there. And they were doing an incredible amount of work for me. There were birds.
Let the worms do your tilling.
There were birds coming to the top and poking around. And that kind of worked into the soil and brought air down. As well as the worms working up. And I realized that once I dug around and started moving that grain into the soil, that the soil had somehow changed. It was like different soil now.
So the clay characteristics were starting to shift. You weren't seeing that kind of hard, compacted concrete in the summer and muck in the winter.
And I think realizing that bringing more organic material into our soil, we're trained in the society to take things away, away out of the garden, haul away things to the dump. That I realized that I started really looking at how nature worked and how trees drop their leaves. And in nature, no one comes and rakes those leaves up. They sit there and they cover the ground during our wet, wet winters. And they protect what soil that we have. I started imitating that in ways with, I was really into ornamental grasses. I would... And at first I thought I was being lazy, kind of, because I didn't want to weed at the backs of these beds. So I would chop up these ornamental grasses and put them around in between my perennials.
Just as mulch.
Just as mulch. And I started realizing that if I then mulched over the top of that with some of Dirk Rohn's Turbo Crow or some bagged Harvest Supreme that mm-hmm. had some kelp meal and some mm-hmm. bat guano and some mycorrhizia in mm-hmm. there, that those grasses and those things that I was using as mulch would break down. Mm-hmm. Add a little grain in there too, and just keep kind of layering those things together. Uh-huh. At some point when I went in and started turning that soil again, I had something different than when I initially started. And later I realized that that was adding organic material, that was storing carbon mm-hmm. within that soil. And it was developing a different soil structure that seemed to retain moisture mm-hmm. better, that was easier to work with, mm-hmm. That suddenly those weeds weren't so hard to pull when they did establish themselves.
So you found you could weed them out.
Exactly. Yeah. That things would just pull. Even the deepest tap roots now in my home garden and gardens that I have helped to coach and work with and build soil structure, dock, mm-hmm. deep tap roots, I can just use a fork and those things are just popping right out.
Because the soil is so loose.
Because the soil is so loose, because I've developed a different type of structure.
We're going to take a break now to remind you that you're listening to Coast Community Radio on KMUN 91.9 FM and KTCB Tillamook 89.5 FM. We're streaming live at coastradio.org. If you're just joining us for In Season, this week we're talking about building healthy soil with gardener, garden coach, and artist Jessica Schleif.
Do you do any amendments in your gardens? I mean, I know a lot of people here talk about using lime to sweeten soil because we have very acidic soil here, or any other kinds of, you know, fertilizers or stuff like that.
It depends. It depends if I'm thinking about growing food specifically. Mm-hmm. And yes, yeah. I will then turn to Steve Solomon. Yeah. I'll think about liming. I'll think about putting together.
And explain who Steve Solomon is.
Steve Solomon is a guru for vegetable gardens that writes...
It's the Growing Vegetables West of the Cascades is where I first met him. Yeah.
Exactly. And he has some fertilizer combinations. He also started territorial seeds. Mm-hmm. And really was looking at our area.
Yeah.
And he's a good one to turn to if you want specific fertilizer types yeah. or thinking about how you can amend soil for...
This region.
This yeah. region. Yeah. For
I've definitely used
gardening.
His recipe for his mix and, you know, tweaked it a bit here and there and added this and added more of different things. But certainly for edibles, you know, we're especially for a lot of the kind of edibles, like the European and Asian edibles, more annual stuff that tend to like a more neutral pH soil, it seems pretty effective.
It does. I also will reach for mm-hmm. the Dr. Earth products. Mm-hmm. I'll reach for a live fertilizer.
Yeah.
I'll reach for something that's pre-mixed sometimes, mm-hmm. especially for clients. Yeah. You know, if I don't have the time, like in my home garden or my yeah. home vegetables, where I can mix these things cup by cup and yeah. mix up a bucket of something that maybe I'm investing in 10 mm-hmm. different nutrients or, yeah. or, you know, micronutrients or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so are you finding with the gardens that you've, and for your own garden or other gardens that you've been involved with for a long time, do you start to see the plants change? I mean, do you see a shift in, or is there less erosion when it rains? I mean, how are you seeing that manifest working on the soil this way? Because it takes time, and that's something else that, you know, we were talking about, that, you know, the time frame in a garden can be very slow because it takes time to shift, especially if you're starting a garden from scratch. If you were taking a piece of lawn and trying to transform that into a perennial garden or an edible garden.
And it all, that does depend. I mean, and I think as we were talking about, mm-hmm. We have to be honest with ourselves about how much time we want to spend. Mm-hmm. I, of course, want to spend all my spare time in my garden. And initially,
well,
I assumed everyone wanted to do that too.
Yeah.
but I think we have to be honest about that. And, you know, if you if you know that you want to grow some edibles, you want to work some plant material in that is going to provide you with some blueberries or herbs or things that might provide habitat for animals or birds or insects or our pollinators, that you can go at it slowly and you can build your soil over time, that you can keep adding, you can keep layering. There are ways to not just remove the lawn and take it away, but actually smother that lawn.
Yeah.
It depends on how quickly you want results.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I tell people to think a year out, think a couple years out, that it's okay to take the time to build your soil. Mm-hmm. It's okay to keep some of your non-diseased organic matter on site and start to build windrows in areas where you know that you're going to be wanting to garden. Mm-hmm. I also use a vermiculture technique where I'm using worms in bins to compost all my household material that I'm producing, and some of my garden debris. I'll give them little treats or high-grade weeds.
And then using the worm compost.
Exactly, to add into these areas where I'm developing the soil. Sometimes I'll even just trench in and put it into a trench where I know I'm going to want to start planting different plants.
And how far in advance would you do that? I mean, if you were going to trench something in, you wouldn't plant it a week later.
No.
You would let it sit for...
I wouldn't. And you know, maybe as quick as 3 months. Sometimes I've done it in between plants, like if I have established blueberries and maybe I have an apple tree over here and I've got some perennials worked in between, because lots of us don't have as much space as you. And so we're trying.
I don't know if you want as much space as I've got, because you can just get into trouble that way.
And so you're trying to bring some of those edibles into maybe your perennial garden and you have one apple tree and maybe one crab apple, and you've brought in some Irene rosemary to work with the very early pollinators, and you're trying to build a community. Maybe you don't build that whole community to begin with, and so you can keep working on the soil in between those things, as long as you're not pushing soil up against the base of plants or the base of your trees. As long as you're feathering it away, it is okay to top dress with spent grain. It's okay to top dress with Dirk Rohn's Turbo Grow. I don't mean to name drop. These are just the things that I'm using.
But any kind of compost or manure, you're talking about manure. I know there's like certain issues with using fresh manure, and people do want to be cautious of that.
Definitely.
Especially if you're working around edible plants. But
if it's composted, washed dairy manure, or if you don't have the space where you need to go and get yards and yards, you can access bagged things locally, like Harvest Supreme. I just throw that out there because it's one that I've had very good luck with.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, sometimes we look at mushrooms coming up in our gardens and we think, oh no, what's wrong? But that is a very good sign.
And that there's life in the soil.
That there's life in the soil. That they're processing through maybe any toxins in the soil or things that need to be processed through. And the mushrooms, like the worms, can do a lot of our work for us.
Yeah. So building soil sometimes is standing back and letting nature do the work for you. I think, too, about, you know, there's a lot of people in our areas, I mean, all up and down the coast that have deciduous trees, you know, trees that lose their leaves in the fall. And if you have a neighbor that you see raking all of their leaves and then taking them to the dump, you know, just run over and see
if you can. People think you're crazy, too. They're like, I'm like, can I have all of them? They're like, yes, you can take them all. We do want to think about varieties. We don't have many oak trees around
But there's a few trees, and walnut, too.
Yes, exactly.
There's some trees that you don't want to use those leaves. And why?
Well, there might be tannins, different reasons for different things. There might be tannins. They might break down much slower. But some of that can be solved by breaking the leaves up. I see people doing it with lawn mowers. I'm too lazy to do that, and I've tried to eliminate all my lawns, so yeah. I don't have a lawnmower anymore. But maybe you add that to your compost pile instead.
Mm-hmm. And let those break down. But like maple trees are great.
Oh, gosh. I mean, and you know, initially, I have gardens that I work with and coach with that have multiple Japanese maples. As long as they're not diseased, we want to really look at what we're introducing as far as leaves. We want to make sure we don't have any disease, and that's about paying attention to our plant material. Mm-hmm. That's about checking in on a pretty regular basis, even if it's just walking around the garden with a cup of tea and taking note, and especially in our changing times with different sorts of fungal things happening.
Yeah.
Soil health is very important, and when we're building the soil, we do want to look at those leaves and make sure nothing funky is happening. Mm-hmm. But I've realized that in those gardens, letting those leaves just drop like they do in nature, and then when spring comes and things heat up and the worms start coming up to the top, and those leaves have spent the entire winter protecting our soil from our rain, they can go ahead and let go of all those nutrients that they've been holding for us during the winter. And that is such a special thing. And we can even just go ahead and mulch straight on top of those. You know, we can go ahead and bring in our little spring mulch. Mm-hmm. And that is something to also know. This isn't just something we do once.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's, yeah. You know, especially in this climate.
Well, because it's always breaking down and it's always raining. I remember one time helping a friend with, you know, mulching her garden. We weeded the whole thing and we mulched it. And she was so happy and it looked beautiful. And about 6 months later, you know, weeds were starting to grow again and all sorts of stuff was happening. I'm like, well, you know, have you added more compost? I mean, are you... Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, but we added compost. I didn't think I needed to do it again.
How many times have I heard that?
And it's like, you have to do it all the time.
I hear that so often. Mm-hmm. And I try... And we can't stress it enough. Mm-hmm. You know, for every 10 cents you're spending on a plant, you're going to spend a dollar or a dollar 50. And maybe it's not going to cost you money because maybe you're going to go out and figure out ways to get organic material for not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're going to turn your garden waste and your kitchen waste, your scraps, into that compost.
Yeah.
But we need to do this all the time. And in our... In our climate, occasionally we might be thinking about things like alder chips.
Yeah.
We might be thinking about chipped wood.
Yeah.
That might hold the nutrients for a while, and then we have to kind of look at our plants and think, oh, do you need a little extra nitrogen? Mm-hmm. Eventually, those alder chips are going to break down, and that's going to create an even more complex soil structure for us. So if you need a little bit more coverage and you want it to last a little longer, you might be thinking about adding some
wood chips.
Some wood chips.
You know, and honestly, chase down your local tree cutters. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I have a source, and we get huge piles of wood chips dropped off at our farm, and it's wonderful. And it's stuff that, you know, otherwise would just be going into a landfill.
Some are better than others.
And some are better than others, and they're definitely, you know,
some take a lot of time to break down, like holly. They can, though.
They do, and they will all eventually break down. And these are great ways to add mulch to your garden, especially if you don't want to weed a lot, or you don't want to, you know, if you have a perennial area and you really just want to mulch underneath it. I mean, wood chips can be great for that. And again, they do just break down over time.
Or perhaps you know in advance that you might want to garden in an area. Mm-hmm. And you want to go in there and you want to conquer that soil.
Mm-hmm. So like say it was a lawn. Or maybe it wasn't really great soil.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, I'd really like something to happen there. Maybe next year. Mm-hmm. Maybe in 6 months. Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and go in and you could even add in a layer of cardboard.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely done that.
That is free of tape.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stress this enough. That is free of tape and that's free of nasty staples.
Oh, man. I feel like she's looking straight at me as she says. Well, she is looking straight at me as she says, no, no, no. But I am pulling pieces of
tape.
She's
turning red.
That's so terrible. It's true. The shame. But, oh, man. I pull so many pieces of tape out of... the gardens that I've used cardboard on, but cardboard is really effective as that layer, and then you mulch on top of that.
Exactly. And so cardboard,
it really smothers things.
Wood chips, and then you can go in there, and if you are looking 6 months, a year in advance, you can go ahead and layer those wood chips up high. And then maybe you trench into that, and you create a little windrow in there or different areas that then you add your vermiculture, and maybe you've got some worms left over in some of that vermiculture compost that you're harvesting, and you cover back up with your wood chips, and away it goes. And then maybe you get some real compost from somewhere, or you've made your compost and you go ahead and add that on top. You know, really kind of cooking it up. And it's surprising what can happen, you know, in letting it cook and taking a little bit of time.
It's funny how we talk about it almost in terms of like a recipe. You know, like, but in a sense, it is that you're putting a lot of ingredients out and letting these reactions take place, much like in a kitchen.
It's true.
Much like, you know, baking a cake or something. There's reactions that are happening between different organic materials that are all building this kind of ecosystem under the ground that plants are accessing.
I love that. And if you are a cook in any way like I am, I'm a pattern cooker. I don't follow a recipe all the time, but I recognize a pattern that starts to work with something. And I guess gardening really is kind of the same way. You can start recognizing some of those patterns that work, some of the ingredients that go together, some of the communities that you can build that end up being kind of tasty.
And beautiful. Yeah. I know. It's so inspiring. We're still in late winter. So for some of us, it's maybe a little bit too early to be digging in the soil, although there's some days that are dry and just, you know, but it's not too early to start mulching and building. And that's definitely something we can be doing now. So I just, want to encourage people.
But let's not step too hard on some of our soil.
This is true. Be kind. Be gentle.
Yeah.
But start thinking about spring.
Definitely.
Getting your piles together.
Yeah. Getting out there and seeing what's going on.
Yeah.
That's the most important part. It's just enjoying that time out there, because the plants speak to us, the soil speaks to us. We just have to listen, and it takes time, you know, putting the time in, just walking around, and it doesn't have to be work all the time.
In fact, it shouldn't be.
No.
I mean, the whole point of doing it is to have those moments to savor.
Yeah. Your cup of tea, sitting somewhere.
Let your plants talk to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Jessica. This has been so great, and I feel so inspired to keep building my soil.
Excellent.
And hopefully everyone else will build soil too.
Yes. Last year was the year of the soil. 2015 was the official year of the soil. But I like to think that every year can be the year of the soil.
Absolutely. As it should be.
Definitely.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of In Season on Coast Community Radio. Many thanks to my guest Jessica Schleif for sharing her knowledge and experience with building healthy soils in this coastal region. I'd also like to thank our sound editor Katie Claiborne for her creative skills and support. Good luck with your gardens this season. I look forward to hearing how all your soil building turns out.